Thank you very much. I'm sitting here today because I was carrying some laundry. I had it held out in front of me. I tried to take a step down a stair, and I just sort of looked to the side to make sure that my foot was on the step, and something in my back just went like that, and then it went into a spasm, and then I couldn't walk, and it was like, really? And I really wanted to come in my pajamas today, but I didn't think that would. So I got my stretchy pants and my comfy clothes on, and that's why I'm sitting here, so I hope you don't mind, but I've been looking you right in the eye while I'm talking to you. Anyways, I'm so glad that God brought you to Coffee Hour today. And while we didn't quite get there last week in Bible study, but on the last day of the first 5 days of our 2-year Bible study, Living Beyond Yourself, Beth Moore brings up the interesting and important topic of our relationship to God. And before she delves into our relationship with the Holy Spirit, she wants us to be sure that we understand just what has happened to us if we are a child of God. How, as Christians, do we now relate to the God of creation? Just what does it mean for God to be our Abba, our Daddy? Well, when I was a young girl, I felt safe and secure when my dad was home from work and the family was together enjoying a meal or watching a favorite TV show. But as is true of many of his era, my dad did not express his love in words, but in actions. He worked hard every day to provide for his family, and because his own upbringing had been difficult and sparse, the small advantages he provided us were to him a great improvement over what he had experienced as a child. His mother had abandoned the family when he was an infant, leaving him in the care of his grandparents on a farm near Strathroy, Ontario. His dad was away from home much of the time, finding work wherever he could in the tool and dye trade. His grandma and grandpa were farmers and kept bees for honey. And as a young boy, tragedy struck, and he watched from the chicken coop while their farmhouse burned to the ground. The coop became their home until they moved to West Lorne, Ontario, and resumed their honey business. Their last name was Graham, and my dad was always called Honey Graham. Dad's ideas of what a father was like were hazy at best. His grandfather was demanding, and he and his dad's absent father offered little in the way of providing a role model of fatherly love. So when Dad married Mom, and a year later I arrived, my dad became a father, and he had much to learn about providing not just for the physical needs of family, but the emotional needs as well. Dad became a Christian when I was 7 years old. My mom's story has a similar theme, but with a twist. My maternal grandfather died suddenly with a heart attack when my mom was 2 years old. Mom was the youngest of a combined family of 18 children. This would be the third time my grandmother was widowed. And all through her childhood, my mother believed if only there was a father to provide for us, life would be so much easier. If only we had a father, we wouldn't have to work so hard to make ends meet. Well, Mom had become a Christian in her teen years, but was looking to have her need for security met in a human relationship. My grandmother was a Christian, and she believed in the provision of a loving Heavenly Father. Faced with the daily reality of having to be both mother and father to a large, needy family, her reliance on God was put to the test, and my mom felt that struggle. So as my mother grew up and looked for what would be the unrealistic goal of finding a husband who would make life so much easier. And my dad grew up without a reliable role model. Their relationship was strewn with landmines, and that led to an eventual implosion. And Jen's going to put up a little picture there. I came across this sign on the highway near Camp ABK, and it sums up the Divine Graham divide. My mom was a Divine, and my dad was a Graham. When I saw that sign, I'm like, what? That's it, right there, in a nutshell. One went that way, and one went that way. So, did my dad think that God was distant and cold? Was my mom disappointed with God when life was difficult? Did they reach out to their Abba, their Heavenly Father, for the love and support they needed? Were they aware of the resources available to them because of the treasure they had inside as children of the King of Kings? It's been suggested that many people struggle in their understanding of God as good and a loving Father because of childhood disappointments. And I'm not sure if that's true, but we know that our Heavenly Father has none of the impediments of earthly fathers. So again, I ask, what does it mean for God to be our Abba, our Daddy, our Father? It's to God's Word we must go to see what God has revealed to us regarding His character. So this morning, I would like to begin by sharing a little about our Abba from Psalm 91. This psalm describes for us the nature of our Heavenly Father and how He relates to His children. As I read through the psalm, think of various pictures that emerge describing God's protective care. And you can follow along. It's a little bit small, but I'm going to read it for you. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Are these some of the pictures you saw in those verses? God as our shelter, that we live in His shadow, that He is our refuge, our fortress, that He saves us from traps and disease. He covers us with His wings, that He is a shield and wall of defense, that He protects us from the punishment of the wicked, that He keeps disaster at bay, that He rescues us because of His love relationship with us. He offers us long life. The images are those of a protective mother hen and also a strong and mighty shield. Because He has promised to protect me, I feel loved and safe. I have no need to worry. What He has not promised is that His people will not experience difficult things. In fact, He promises the opposite. But He also promises to be with us and shelter us from harm. and not just with us, but in us. Nothing can happen to us unless the Lord allows it. If we could understand this truth, we could live our lives without fear. Ladies, there's nothing that happens to us that has not already been thoroughly vetted by God. This is how we can face adversity with confidence, knowing that God is in control. Jesus himself experienced all the ups and downs of the human condition, and God planned these experiences for his own son, and he does the same for us. Psalm 91:9 says that God is our dwelling and our refuge, and we can find peace and rest in knowing that he is over all. We abide in him, meaning that our decisions and activities should always take into consideration his will as it is revealed in his word. Have you ever been in a situation that you felt was beyond your ability to cope? How great would it be that our first inclination in any circumstance was to call out to our Heavenly Father? This is a response we must cultivate and put into practice in our lives. It is one of the many ways the indwelling Holy Spirit makes his presence known and real in our lives. His still, small voice reminds us that God is near and ever attentive to our cry for help. The power of God present in our lives is one aspect of our Father's protective care and concern for us. But there are also external forces at work, even though we can't see them. Psalm 91:9-13 tells us that if we make God our dwelling, he will command his angels concerning us to guard us in all our ways. And I know that there are ladies here today who could relate their experiences of protection in the face of imminent danger. And I'm so thankful that I have protectors around me, and that someday in heaven I will meet them and hear of all the ways they protected me from harm. Even the other day when I stepped on that step, I mean, I could have just fallen right down the step and fallen on the floor, but that didn't happen. So God is always for us. So right now, I want us to read a portion of Psalm 91 together, out loud, and it will be up on the screen. And wherever there is a blank, please insert your name. Now, it's going to be like a big chorus of names. It's going to sound great. So everywhere there's a blank, I want you to say your name, and let's read it all together. Because Nancy loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Nancy. I will protect Nancy, for Nancy acknowledges my name. Nancy will call on me, and I will answer Nancy. I will be with Nancy in trouble. I will deliver Nancy and honor Nancy. With long life, I will satisfy Nancy and show Nancy my salvation. This is what God says. Well, doesn't that just make your heart overflow with love for your Heavenly Father? So let's review all the promises our Father has made to us, his children, in those two short verses of Scripture. I will rescue you. I will protect you. I will answer you. I will be with you. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will satisfy you with long life. I will show you my salvation. Is there something in your life right now that's weighing you down? Something too big for you? Our Father in heaven has told us to give our burdens to him. All the images he gives us of himself in this psalm are reality, not fiction. God is our refuge, fortress, mother hen, shield, rampart, and dwelling. How could your life be different this week and beyond? At work, financially, in your family, as you face the future, if you really live in this truth. We can move into the unknown with confidence when we understand the love God has for us. Do you know His love? Is it something your heart desires, but you feel is beyond your grasp? Acts 17:27 and 28 says, God did this, that is, made the world and mankind, so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. If God is not present inside you through His Holy Spirit yet, He is very close. He is only a prayer away. When I think about the truth that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always existed in a perfect, loving relationship, I find it interesting that God created the human race, and in particular the family, to be a representation of that oneness of relationship that God has revealed in His descriptions of His relationship with His Son. What is it about this relationship that God intended for us to enjoy with our earthly fathers that speaks to us about our relationship with our Heavenly Father? What is it that we long for? There are few instances in Scripture where the writers have recorded for us God's exact words spoken to and about His Son. Matthew 3:17 records the Father's word regarding His Son at Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Again, when Jesus' deity broke out in blinding light on the mountain when He was transfigured, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." I think that what we hear God saying to and about His Son is that He is deeply loved and that God is pleased with Him. And if we are honest with ourselves, knowing that our earthly fathers feel or felt this way about us would go a long way to giving us the assurance and sense of worth and belonging that we need to become mature human beings. But more importantly, these are truths that should characterize my relationship with my Heavenly Father, my Abba. I am His servant. God is pleased with me. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am His child. We are family. I am His and He is mine. These realities give me peace and joy on my journey. And when we go back to the very beginning, the relationship between God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is at the basis of Christian community. Along with God's thoughts towards His Son, we want to consider Jesus' thoughts towards His Father. Jesus gives us a glimpse into the relationship He has with His Father in His prayer recorded for us in John 17. Now, I want you to listen as I read this passage. And you can close your eyes if you wish, or you can follow along, excuse me, on the screen. But I want you to concentrate and enter into this conversation between God the Son and God the Father. It's a little bit long, so don't fall asleep if you close your eyes. But I want you to just listen to the words that Jesus is using. And a lot of the time He's talking about you and me to His Father. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by finishing the work that You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. I have revealed to You those whom You gave Me out of the world. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, and that's us, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What a beautiful picture of perfect love Jesus portrays here. Eternal life, the life God intended for his people, is revealed as a relationship between us and the God we serve. Knowing him, loving him, serving him. This is what brought joy to the heart of the Savior, and this is what gives us joy as well. And I'm struck by the many similarities in this prayer of Jesus to his Father to the promises that we read previously in Psalm 91. What God was saying to us, his children, in this psalm is what Jesus was talking to his Father about in John 17. Let's review and see if you can see those similarities too. God as our shelter, that we live in his shadow, that he's our refuge, our fortress, that he saves us from traps and disease, that he covers us with his wings, that he is a shield and a wall of defense, that he protects us from the punishment of the wicked, that he keeps disaster at bay, that he rescues us because of his love relationship with us and offers us a long life. As we continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit, we will see that what God has in mind for us is that we grow to have in us the mind of Christ. The Spirit's fruit abiding in our hearts and minds is essentially the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul tells those who are united with Christ to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And by doing so, we shine like stars in the universe, just like these ladies over here shining this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we have these characteristics in our lives in increasing measure, our fellowship with our Heavenly Father becomes increasingly sweet. We enjoy the relationship that God has enjoyed with Jesus Christ, his Son, from eternity past. How blessed we are to be children of the King. And our next passage that's going to be upon the screen is Galatians 4:4-7. And Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Are you a child of the King? If God is tenderly calling you today, please answer his call. If you would like to speak to someone about God's gift of salvation, please see one of the ladies on the coffee hour committee or make your way to the fireside room after the meeting today. There are ladies here who would love to share the good news of the gospel with you today. I came to see that our Father God had a plan for my parents, even though at the time it was hard to understand. After their divorce, they went on to marry other people. And in God's timing, those people passed away. By God's grace, my mom was at my father's side when he went to glory in 2012. And I believe that with time, God had shown them that he was their all-sufficient Abba. The great plan of salvation that originated in the heart of our Abba is too wonderful to comprehend. He created us, he loves us, he rescued us. Let's give thanks. Let's love and serve him with the joy that comes as a result of our communion with him and all the saints in the family of God. And in closing, I would like to invite Joyce to join me here as we sing a song, and it is called "I Am His and He Is Mine." And if you know this hymn, please sing along, and if not, listen to these words that describe our loving relationship with Abba, our Heavenly Father. Okay.
We can do all four verses. Just saying. Yes. I love living on the edge. Okay.
Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, gracious Spirit from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs or flow, flowers with deep
Thank you, ladies.